This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Let's go over the lesson. I will test you as to what you have written. Surah Al-Baqarah. Tell me something about this surah. It's a Madani surah, very good. How many verses does it have? 286. And any other special point about the surah? Any special feature about the surah? Unique feature? Huh? It's a light. What else? Shaitan does not enter the house where the surah is recited. In learning Surah Al-Baqarah, there is blessing. In ignoring it, there is sorrow. Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran both will be like lights and shade on the Day of Judgment. For who? For those who learn it, read it, implement it. Anything else? It's the longest surah of the Qur'an. 2.5 juz. Why is the surah named Al-Baqarah? Because of the story of the cow, which is mentioned in the surah. As for the first ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim. What do these huruf mean? What's the meaning of these huruf? What is the meaning of these huruf? They have no exact meaning, but they have a significance, they have an importance, they have some purpose. What is that purpose? One is to draw the attention of the listener. What else? To prove the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. Next ayah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا غَيْبَ فِيهِ. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. Which kitab is this? Everybody? The Qur'an. The word ذَلِكَ has been used to point to the Qur'an. Why? ذَلِكَ is used for that which is far, but the Qur'an is right in front of you. Why is ذَلِكَ used? Because it is pointing towards the actual book which is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And where is that? In the seventh heaven. What's another reason? What's the second reason? To express the greatness of the Qur'an, to express the high status of the Qur'an. Because you only point to something that is very respectful, that is very high, that is very glorious, with an ism ishara that points to something that is far. So, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, there is no doubt in it. What kind of a doubt is rayb? What kind of a doubt is rayb? What do you remember? One that creates unrest in a person. It makes him very shaky. It takes his peace away. And especially when you're reading a book or when you're listening to something, and if you have a doubt like that, you can't read it with peace. Isn't it so? It becomes very heavy for you. So right at the beginning, Allah tells us, there is no doubt in it. Read this book with peace of mind, with peace of heart, and you will be satisfied. What does it mean by there is no doubt in the Qur'an? What does it mean by there is no doubt in the Qur'an? In the fact that it has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's another reason? One is in the fact that this has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's another reason? Yes, in the fact that it has the best guidance for mankind. What's another reason? That there is nothing incorrect in it. Everything that you read in the Qur'an is going to be accurate. So, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْوَ فِيهِ. Why was this book sent? What does Allah say? What's the purpose? To guide who? الْمُتَّقِينَ, those who have taqwa. What is taqwa? What is taqwa? I want everybody to raise their hands if you know the answer. To take protection from the punishment of Allah, from the disapproval of Allah. This is very important. Okay? To take protection against the disapproval, punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By doing what He is pleased with and by abstaining from that which He is displeased with. So, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, what does it mean by that? That the Qur'an is a guide for those who have taqwa. Isn't it a guide for everybody? What does it mean by that? Only those who have taqwa can benefit from the guidance that is in the Qur'an. Do you remember the two types of guidance that I told you about? Hidayah that is of irshad, and hidayah that is of tawfiq. Hidayah irshad, we can understand this as hidayah ilmi, guidance that has to do with knowledge. And the second type of guidance is hidayah amali. Tawfiq. Tawfiq means what? That Allah gives a person the ability to do amal on the ilm that he has received. Now the Qur'an, it imparts hidayah ilmi as well as amali. As for hidayah ilmi, who was a recipient of that? Everybody. And as for hidayah amali, who is a recipient of that? Only those who have taqwa. They will have the tawfiq to do amal on the Qur'an as well. And if you notice the characteristics of the people of taqwa that are mentioned over here, they have to do with amal. Isn't it so? They have iman, they establish the prayer, they spend. What does that show? Action, amal. So Qur'an imparts hidayah ilmi as well as hidayah amali. Ilmi is for everybody, but amal, only those will gain from the Qur'an who have been given the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the condition for that? To have taqwa. So what are the characteristics of muttaqeen that are mentioned in the following verses? What's the first characteristic? What's the first characteristic? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. Is it important to believe in the unseen? Why is it so important to believe in the unseen? If you don't believe in the unseen, how will you believe in Allah? How will you believe in the Qur'an? So we learn that believing in the unseen is a foundation of taqwa. It is a foundation, it is the basis. And that is the real test. If we're told to believe in something that is seen, is that a big deal? No. But when we're told to believe in something that is in the unseen, is that a big deal? Yes. So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That's the first point. Then Allah says, what's the second quality that the muttaqeen have? They perfectly establish the salah. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. What is the literal meaning of the word salah? Literal meaning. Dua. Supplication. And why is the prayer, being the ritual prayer, the five daily prayers, why are they called as-salah? Why are they called salah? Why is salah called salah? Because we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other reasons given as well. For example, it has been said that salat is called salat because this is from the Arabic word as-salah. How will you write as-salah? Alif, lam, sad, lam, alif. There is no ta marbuta at the end. Okay? As-salah. And as-salah is when a horse lifts up its tail and then bends it, then lifts up its tail and then bends it. Okay? And in salah, what do? We're standing up, we go down into ruku', then we stand up, we go down into sujood, then we rise up, then we go back down into sujood, then we rise up again into the standing position. So this is also an opinion that salat is called salah because this is from the Arabic word which is used for the horse, lifting up and bending its tail again and again. Another reason has been given. It is said that salat is derived from sallayta al-ud. Sallayta al-ud, ud is wood. So sallayta, in particular when it is used for ud, it means to make the piece of wood very soft. How? When you rub it so that it becomes thin, it becomes fine. And a musalli, a person who is praying, he humbles himself. He becomes soft. He humbles himself in the prayer. So first of all, because we make dua in salah. Secondly, because of the actions that are in the salah. And thirdly, because of the humility that is in the salah. So وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish the salah. What is included in establishing the salah? What is included in iqamatu salah? I gave you 4 points. This is to pray in the prescribed manner. To pray in the prescribed manner. Such as facing the qibla, having the correct wudu, fulfilling all the prerequisites of salah, fulfilling all the pillars of salah, the arkan of salah. So praying in the prescribed manner. What else is included? Praying in the prescribed times. What else is included? Praying in congregation. And what's another point? Praying consistently. Praying regularly. So basically, iqamatu salah is to give the salah its proper due. Its haqq. To pray the salah as one should pray. in the prescribed way, at the prescribed time, fulfilling all the prerequisites, praying consistently, praying regularly, praying in jama'ah. When you do that, what are you doing? You're giving the haqq of salah. So iqamatu salah is to give the proper due of salah.
Let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
Let's continue our lesson.
So ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. ومما. مما is a combination of من and ما. From what? And the word min in the Arabic language also has several meanings. Just as the word b, which is based on just one letter, has several meanings in the Arabic language, similarly min also has several. Over here, two are relevant. In this context, two meanings are relevant, which inshallah I will tell you about. First of all, min is of bayan. What does bayan mean? Explanation. So it is explanatory. What does it mean by that? مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ What it means is, and that which we have provided them, they spend it. And that which we have provided them, they spend it. Where? In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, they spend all. They spend whatever is required at that time, at that particular occasion, at that particular instance. For example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the occasion of the expedition to the book, what did he spend? What did he spend? Everything he had. Do you remember that story? That Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I have to give more than Abu Bakr. And he brought half of everything he had. Half of his wealth. And he got there and he found out that Abu Bakr had brought everything he had. So at certain times, in certain occasions, we have to spend everything we have because that's what the situation demands. For example, some people, they save all their lives, or they save for like, you know, a few years. Why? So that they can go for Hajj. And when they go for Hajj, they come back and their bank is empty. There's hardly anything left. Isn't it good to save some? Yes, it is. But if it's mandatory on you to do Hajj, then it's better for you to spend all that you have in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mimma, min means, first of all, it is explanatory, giving the meaning of all that they have, depending on the situation. Secondly, min is understood as min of tab'id. Tab'id. Ta-ba-ayn ya-dad. Tab'id. And tab'id means sum of, part of. So, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Meaning some of that which we have given them, what do they do with it? They spend it. Some. Not all of it, but some of it. Which is why we see that zakat is the entire wealth? No. It's 2.5%. Sadaqah? Is it supposed to be all of a person's wealth? No. Some of it. So, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ can be understood in two ways. رَزَقْنَا رَزَقْنَا is from the root رَزَيْقَاف. Any other word from the same root that you're familiar of? Rizq. What does rizq mean? Provision. It is said that rizq is every beneficial thing. What is rizq? Every beneficial thing. Everything that is a source of man's spiritual or physical sustenance. Spiritual or physical sustenance. Anything that is beneficial. It could be something that is tangible, like for example food, water, money, cash, house, property. This is what? Tangible, something that can be felt, something that can be touched, something that can be seen. And rizq also includes that which is intangible, meaning those things that we cannot touch or feel or hear or see. They're not physical. Like for example, a person's time, right? A person's ability, the knowledge that a person has been given, the opportunities that a person is given, the relationships that a person has been bestowed with, the time in which a person is living, and such things. So tangible as well as intangible. So وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, from that which we have provided them, it doesn't mean only the wealth that we have given them, but it also goes to the time that a person has been given, the abilities that a person has been given. So all of that which we have provided them, out of that, what do they do? يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend. يُنْفِقُونَ is from نَفَقَ, نُون فَا قَاف. إِنْفَاق is to spend. You may have heard of infaq fi sabilillah. What does that mean? To spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Infaq literally means ikhraj. What does ikhraj mean? To go, to leave, to go away. For example, it is said, nafaqati dabba, meaning when the ruh of the animal leaves, it departs, when the animal dies. Okay? So when an animal dies, what happens? The ruh leaves. When a person dies, what happens? The ruh leaves. So for that, the word nafaqat is used. So what it means is, when something is used up, when something is exhausted, and as it is exhausted, it is gone. Just imagine, an animal is used all of its life for different types of work, and then eventually, it expires. Similarly, you have money, it floats between your wallet and your bank account or something like that. And then when you spend it, what happens? It goes away. It's out of your bank. It's out of your wallet. So this is what infaq means. It is also said that nafaqa literally is to make a hole. When you have a hole in something, what happens to it? For example, a hole in the container. What's going to happen to the stuff that's inside the container? It's going to go away. It's going to fall out. So وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and from what we have provided them, they spend. They spend where? In the way of Allah. But is that it? It is said that مَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, if the rizq over here refers to wealth in particular, then yunfiqun means three things. Spending means three things. They spend their wealth. What does it mean by that? First of all, in zakat, mandatory alms, mandatory zakat, which is fard upon a person who falls under the conditions to give zakat. Secondly, yunfiqoon, they spend where? In sadaqat, voluntary charity, voluntary alms. And thirdly, nafaqat, nafaqat that are lazima, mandatory expenditures, where a person is required to spend his wealth on certain things, on certain people. For example, for a man to spend on his wife, on his children, on his parents. This is what? Expenditures that are mandatory upon him. He has to bring food to them. He has to provide them with food, education, so on and so forth. So وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend where? If it's wealth, then three ways. First of all, zakat wajiba. Secondly, sadaqat that are mustahabba, meaning voluntary alms that are preferred. And thirdly, nafaqat lazima, mandatory expenditures. And if rizq over here refers to other provision that a person has been given, not just wealth but other provision, what does it mean by that? That they use these talents that they have been given with. They use these abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Many times, people will go to a university, they will get a degree, and they will just not use that wealth of knowledge that they have been given. They will not benefit the people with the knowledge that they have earned, with the knowledge that they have gained. So whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with, what do? They're not selfish that they only hoard whatever they have with themselves. But rather they spend so that they can benefit others. They can benefit human beings. They can benefit the rest of the creation. They're not selfish. Yunfiqoon, they spend in the way of Allah. Next ayah. Walladhina, and those who, yu'minuna, they believe. They believe in what? Bima unzila ilayka, in that which was revealed to you. Who does you refer to? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is it that was revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The Qur'an. The Qur'an was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, there is also some other knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not mentioned in the Qur'an. Isn't that so? For example, several ahadith Qudsi, like I told you about the different ahadith about the importance of Surah Al-Baqarah, are they mentioned in the Qur'an? No, they're not. Where do we learn them from? From the Sunnah. Where did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam get that knowledge from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that which has been revealed to you includes the Qur'an as well as the Sunnah. So they believe bima unzila ilayka, in that which was revealed to you. And they also believe in what? Wama unzila min qablik, and what was revealed before you. What was revealed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Which books? The Injil, the Torah, the Zabur, the Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa. Right? And other scriptures that we don't even know of. Ma unzila ilayka wama unzila min qablik, everything that was revealed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now you may wonder that chronologically the Quran was revealed after all of these books. Isn't it so? But the Qur'an is mentioned first, isn't it? And then the other books are mentioned. Why is it so? Why is the Qur'an mentioned first? Because the essence of all the previous books, that is where? In the Qur'an. And also if you think about it, the previous books are not relevant anymore, in the sense that they cannot be applied today. Why? Because they have been changed. They have been lost. They have been forgotten. So the Qur'an is mentioned first because it is relevant to the context that they believe in the Qur'an, meaning they believe, they accept, and they follow the Qur'an. So the Qur'an is mentioned first because it is relevant to the situation. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. Then Allah tells us, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. بِالْآخِرَةِ. آخِرَةِ is from the root Hamza, Kha, Ra. Akhir. What does Akhir mean? Last. What's the opposite of that? Awwal. Awwal means first. Akhir means last. Akhir is basically that which comes at the end. That which comes at the end. And Al-Akhirah, the hereafter, is the opposite of dunya. What is it? The opposite of the life on this world. It is that life which will begin after the life on the earth. That life which will begin after life on earth. So when does it begin? When does the Akhirah begin? When does the Akhirah begin? When the person dies. From the moment of death up until eternity in Jannah or in An-Nar. So wabil akhirah, and in the hereafter, hum yuqinun, they believe with conviction. Notice the word hum. What does hum mean? They. And yuqinun, yuqinun is from the root ya qaf nun. Have you heard of the word yaqeen? What does yaqeen mean? Certainty, conviction. It is said that yaqeen is such faith in something that is free from any doubt. It is completely free from doubt. Such faith that is completely free from doubt. It is to be completely convinced about something. To know something for certain. To be sure about something. To have no doubt about it at all. To be 100% sure. So, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. يُقِنُونَ is more than just faith. It is more than just knowledge. They have faith, they have knowledge about the hereafter that is free from any doubt. They are 100% sure. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. So what does it mean by that? That they have absolutely no doubt in the coming of the Day of Judgment. in the establishment of the Day of Judgment, in the reward or punishment that will be given in the hereafter. But rather, they are completely sure. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. So these people, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those are the people who are on guidance from their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ. أُولَٰئِكَ means those. Earlier we read the word ذَلِكَ. What does ذَلِكَ mean? That. ذَلِكَ is that and أُولَٰئِكَ is those. ذَلِكَ is the singular form and أُولَٰئِكَ is the plural form. Just as you have this and that. Similarly, you have these and those. These books that are near, those books that are up on the shelf. Okay? This book, that book. These books, those books. Alright? So, ذَلِكَ أُولَٰئِكَ. ذَلِكَ is a singular form. أُولَٰئِكَ is a plural form. And ذَلِكَ is used to point to something that is far. أُولَٰئِكَ is also used to point to something that is far. ذَلِكَ is used to point to something that is singular, that is one. And أُولَٰئِكَ is used to point to something that is far, but is more than two. So أُولَٰئِكَ, those people. Which people? Which people is this referring to? The muttaqeen. Those who have been described in the previous verses. Those who have taqwa, those who believe in the unseen, those who spend in the way of Allah, those who establish the salah, those people who have taqwa, who have these qualities, they are عَلَىٰ هُدَىٰ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are on guidance from their Lord. Now, a question. Why is أُولَٰئِكَ used? Why is those used? Why not these? Huh? Why those and not these? My question is, just as the book, the Qur'an, we learned the ayah, that book, not this book. Similarly for these people, we learned those people, not these people. Why those? Why that? To point to what? To highlight what? The highest status. The highest status. So, أُولَٰئِكَ, those people who have such great qualities, those people of such a high rank, in the hereafter, they are who? عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are on guidance from their Lord. عَلَىٰ هُدًى, upon guidance. What does it mean by upon guidance? Meaning they are upon the knowledge, they are upon the tawfiq, on the amal, from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean by مِّن رَبِّهِمْ? They are on guidance from their Lord. Meaning Allah has enlightened the path of guidance for them. Allah has enlightened the path of guidance for them. Allah is showing them the way. Allah is leading them on the right way. They are on guidance from their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is those indeed whom they, المفلحون, who will be successful. Notice, whom. This comes again, just as in the previous ayah, هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. Even if you remove the whom, isn't the sentence complete? Those are the successful ones. But the ayah says, those, they are the successful ones. Why they are again? They are again, whom? This is repeated for two reasons. This is repeated for two reasons. First of all, to emphasize the fact that it is only such people. Only such people. Such people who have such qualities, who do these things, only them, none other than them, who will be successful. It is only such people who will be successful. And secondly, it is also to highlight their elevated status. Whom they will be successful. It is to highlight their elevated status. So, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and they will be the ones who are successful. The word مُفْلِحُونَ is the plural of مُفْلِح. مُفْلِح. And مُفْلِح is from the root letters فَا لَامْ حَا. فَا لَامْ حَا. Have you heard of the word فَلَاح? What does it mean? Farmer. What else does it mean? Success. فَلَاح means success. Falaha, literally, it gives us three meanings. Falaha conveys three meanings. First of all, it gives the meaning of splitting, cutting, breaking something. For example, it is said, إِنَّ الْحَدِيدَ بِالْحَدِيدِ يُفْلَحُ. That indeed iron is cleft with iron. إِنَّ الْحَدِيدَ بِالْحَدِيدِ يُفْلَحُ. So يُفْلَحُ فَلَحَ, what does it mean? Successful? No. Over there it means that it is cut, it is cleft. So فَلَحَ first of all means to split something, to cut something, to break something. Secondly, فَلَحَ also conveys the meaning of success. مُفْلِح, as we see over here, is used for a successful person. And thirdly, فَلَحَ also gives the meaning of بَقَى, to last, to remain, to endure. To last, to remain, to endure. So we have three meanings coming from this root. Now we see that from the same root, we get the word فَلَّاح, which is used for a farmer. What does a farmer do? What does he do? He splits, he clefts, he breaks open the earth, he cuts through the earth. What does he do? He sows the seed. And then when he takes care of the plants, when he takes care of his crop, he attains success. And when he has success, he can last longer. Isn't it? He can survive until the next year. And he does the same thing again, and then he is able to last again until the next year, and the cycle continues. Okay? And if you think about the farmer, is farming easy? Has any one of you tried to have a vegetable garden in your backyard? It didn't work. Why? The weather conditions, and also you have to be very consistent, isn't it? You have to be very regular. You have to water the plants at a particular time. You have to sow the seeds at a particular time. You have to know about the plants as well. It's an everyday thing. I tried planting some herbs in my house. Alhamdulillah, they survived. Alhamdulillah. And one thing that I did, I don't know what I was thinking, I went away for a few days, and when I came back, they were almost dead. I thought the weather is nice, it's still a bit cold, I'll put them out in the balcony and they'll survive with the rain. But when I came back, they were almost dead. You know, they were completely ready. All I had to do was just go pick the herbs and that's it. They were ready. And because I was not there to reap the fruit at the right time, they were gone. All the effort that I had done, gone. Every single day, after Fajr Salah, I would have to go and water the plants. It's not easy. You have to be so consistent. You have to be so regular. So Fallah is used for a farmer. He can never go take a break. He can never go take a vacation. He has to be there every single day looking after his plants, looking after his crop. So falah is success. But what kind of success is it? What kind of success is it? Easy success that a person gains just because he's lucky? No. It's success that a person attains after putting in a lot of hard work, after being very consistent, after being very regular, after being very careful, very conscious, very alert. And we see that the first quality of the successful people is what? Those who have taqwa, those who are conscious. Then we have belief in the unseen. Then we have iqamatu salah. What is iqamatu salah? Being consistent, being regular. So such people who have these qualities, Allah tells us, they are the ones who will be successful. Ibn Abi Ishaq, he said, that the successful ones are those who attain what they seek and are saved from the evil from which they flee. Who are they? Who attain what they seek. They attain their goal. And they are saved from the evil from which they flee. So the muttaqeen, they have taken protection against what? Against the punishment of Allah. That is what they're running away from. And what are they going towards? Towards the pleasure of Allah. So who are the successful ones then? Those who attain the pleasure of Allah and those who are saved from the punishment of Allah. We learn in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Surah Ali Imran, we learn that he who is drawn away from the fire and admitted to paradise, then he has attained success. So who are the successful ones? Who are the successful ones? Those who will enter Jannah. Those who will get the benefit, those who will reap the benefit, when? After having put in a lot of hard work. And where do we put the effort? Now, in the dunya, in this life. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalikal kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil muttaqin. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
What do you understand from these verses? How is it beautiful? Alhamdulillah, when you analyze the words, when you understand the words, then only it goes in. Getting to Jannah requires some effort from us, requires some work from us. We have begun our journey to study the Qur'an, to learn the Qur'an, to benefit from the Qur'an. And right at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about certain things we have to do to make sure that we benefit from the Qur'an. You're going to spend 18 months, a year and a half, studying the Qur'an. Don't you want to get some benefit? Of course you do. All of us have come here with the intention to benefit from the Qur'an. And Allah tells us, if you want to benefit from the Qur'an, not just knowledge, but also amal, then these are some things that you must do, that you have to do. So make a checklist for yourself. Make a list of all these actions. And ask yourself every day, am I doing these things? Because many times you will hear people say, you know, I know such and such, they read the entire Qur'an, but you see them, they're still doing the same bad things that they used to do. They haven't changed a little bit even. Why? The problem is not with the Qur'an. What is wrong? We're not doing these things. We prayed in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us to the right way. Over here Allah tells us, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Such are the people who are on guidance from their Lord. You ask for guidance, we pray for guidance every day. And Allah tells us, if you want guidance, this is what you have to do. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَن لَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. Just one more thing. You have to memorize the word-to-word translation. Okay? That's a daily thing now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.